Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today on this tax and its potentially catastrophic impact on Michigan job providers. Jack touched a little bit about our history. Let me give you a little bit more. We are a family-owned and managed company, as he said. We were started by my parents in the basement of their St. Joseph, Michigan home back in 1977. At that time, 100% of our customers came to us from the Twin Cities of Benton Harbor and St. Joseph. At that time, our menu of services included an admittedly low-tech approach to mail assembly and pre-sorting. Today, Lake Michigan Mailers is the largest provider of mail assembly, data management, document creation, and message distribution services in Western Michigan. While our market penetration in Western Michigan has grown steadily over the last 30 years, we have worked very hard to increase our market share outside of Michigan's borders. Today, operating from our 24,000 square foot Kalamazoo state-of-the-art facility, I am proud to say that we have and service nearly 800 companies a day from companies throughout the United States and Michigan. We have made significant investment in our capital equipment and in our infrastructure over our last 30 years. In the last 4 years alone, Lake Michigan Mailers has invested more than $3 million in capital equipment. In addition, during that same period, we have invested over $250,000 in personnel training and skill development. So as not to leave you with the impression that we have sacrificed employee pay and benefits for capital equipment, allow me to tell you that both our people are both well paid and well benefited. Specifically, our annual wage and benefits research shows that the wages paid to our associates across all job descriptions and experience levels exceeds that of our competitors of similar size and scope within a 9-state region by as much as 31%. We offer, in addition to our wages, an aggressive benefits package that includes free medical insurance, free life insurance, a 401k plan that provides for a guaranteed annual company contribution based on the associate's gross salary, free paid on-the-job training, free uniforms for select positions, and paid vacation and holidays. All right, that's enough about me. Let's talk about what Governor Granholm's proposed new tax on services would mean to job providers in Michigan. I must tell you that I adore the name she has given it, the two-penny tax. If it truly were a two-penny tax, all of us could meet our tax liability by going to our local convenience store and taking 2 pennies out of the Skull Bandit dish on the counter and sending it in. I have read where the governor's new tax will cost the average family $67 a year. Based on those numbers, that's $1.29 per week. For a homeowner or a head of family that's working 40 hours a week, that additional cost represents 3 cents for every hour worked. If you think such a change in income is of insignificant matter, I ask you to come to our facility and ask any one of our hourly associates if they would be willing to take a 3 cent per hour decrease. Take caution while they burn the building to the ground. To understand the true impact on Michigan citizens, one has to remember that something that the governor has either failed to realize or refuses to acknowledge, namely that businesses in Michigan are owned by individuals, staffed by individuals, and services are purchased by and sold to individuals. If the last several years have taught us nothing, they have taught us this. As go the well-being of job providers in this state, so goes the well-being of our citizens and the state as a whole. The governor has also missed one key economic reality. Business is mobile, even in the services sector. Gone are the days when purchases of services took place within several blocks of a purchaser's facility from a finite list of vendors. Today, savvy customers take full advantage of their internet purchasing power, using mobile data capabilities, inexpensive shipping costs, and offshore and out-of-state vendors to acquire the services that they require at the lowest possible cost. If an example of the mobility of business is required, one need look no further than the recent decision by Comerica to move its headquarters from Detroit to Texas. Business is mobile, even in the services sector. The governor's proposed 2% tax on services is bad for Michigan job providers on both the expense and the revenue side of the ledger. Consider this real-life example from Lake Michigan Mailers. Lake Michigan Mailers provides free laundered uniforms to all of our route drivers. It's a requirement of our job. In addition, we also launder our floor mats and our shop rags through a family-owned company out of Battle Creek, Michigan. With the advent of our new tax, our cost for these services will go up by 2%. To avoid that cost, I could try to compel my Battle Creek vendor to eat the additional 2%, or find a vendor that is not subject to the tax, say one in Indiana, which is equidistant from where I am to where Battle Creek is. Indiana does not have a tax on services. Governor Granholm's proposed new tax is nothing more than a 2% discount coupon for all service providers in Indiana and other states that don't tax services. Recently, Governor Granholm was asked what the role of state government is with respect to business. Her response was that a state should work to create a climate for growth and to facilitate that growth. She has also said that the state needs to support small business and partner with small businesses to help keep them competitive. I think that's a great objective. I think that is the objective. The sad reality is that her 2% proposed tax will do nothing more than retard the ability of Michigan job providers to compete at a national level. On the revenue side, the impact is just as devastating. Consider for a moment that Lake Michigan Mailers, like many job providers in Michigan, sell services both within Michigan and out and throughout the United States. When I review the impact of the proposed 2% service tax on the revenue side of my business, I know that I will be left with several extremely problematic options to offset this new cost. And let me review them for you. I can attempt to raise my price. However, I know my customers, and there's not one of them that will sit back and simply take a 2% increase on our service price. I'm going to have to find it someplace else. I can keep my prices the same and eat the 2% cost. However, I simply can't do that. I will have to find another way to do it within my operation. I can keep my price the same and reduce wages and benefits to account for the new cost of the tax. Cutting benefits and wages may work in the short term, but over time, it will interfere with my ability to attract and retain the talent I need to run my business. Moreover, in the short term, it will negatively impact my associates' livelihood, those individuals that were only supposed to pay $67 a year. I can keep my price the same and reduce my continuing investment in technology. However, in my capital-intensive industry, innovation is a requirement, not a luxury. Again, a short-term solution, but one that cannot be sustained over the long term. I can keep my price the same and reduce my headcount. However, since I and most business provider or job providers in Michigan don't have any excess employees, I cannot reduce my headcount without interfering with my ability to service my customers. From the perspective of my associates, this approach is both tragic in both the short term and the long term. Again, that $67 is looking like more and more of a fable. I can keep my price the same and transfer operations to a state that does not have a tax on service. Remember, businesses are mobile. I am told that most states have some type of tax on some services. Indiana does not. I don't know how many of my current associates would be willing to travel to Indiana for the jobs that they currently have. I've never asked them. But then again, I've never had to ask them. As you can see, my options, that is to say, our options, while not numerically limited, are to say the least abhorrent. Companies throughout Michigan exist and continue to exist on the smallest of margins. As proof, I offer for your consideration the extensive number of companies who offer or who impose a fuel surcharge on their invoice when the price of fuel exceeds a predetermined point. If margins were larger, Michigan companies could afford to absorb the short-term fuel cost increase. If their customers were not price sensitive, companies could simply pass on the increased cost along to their customers in the form of higher service prices. As it is, companies are compelled to implement fuel surcharges so as to recover their increased cost, but differentiate such costs from the price of the services they are providing. Companies throughout Michigan have been waiting and waiting for the opportunity to raise their prices. But our one state recession has prevented them from doing that. If this new tax is implemented, the state itself will be absorbing all of the oxygen in the room. The market will be unable to sustain both a price increase from the company and a tax increase from the state. Like most businesses, we buy a lot of services. Consulting services, software services, maintenance services, accounting services, payroll services, bank services, legal services, postage, freight and shipping services, just to name a few. In my case, and without sharing any company secrets, I can tell you that if Lake Michigan Mailers had to endure a 2% cost of increase in our cost of the services that we purchased last year alone, our cost would increase by $128,000. That's $128,000 that I don't have for wages and benefits. That's $128,000 that I don't have for advertising. That's $128,000 that I don't have. It's simply sucked away to the state. To offset this cost of the governor's proposed tax, I would have to reduce my full-time employee headcount by more than 8%. As I mentioned earlier, I don't have any excess employees, and such a reduction in headcount would require me to alter the service levels that I currently provide to my customers. I guess another option that I could exercise is shift from buying services from Michigan-based companies to states that do not have a service tax. And once again, there's more than just corn in Indiana. I have been told that the current legislation surrounding this proposed tax contains language that would require those who buy services outside of Michigan to pay a 2% use tax. I would argue that these funds would be difficult, if not impossible, for the state to collect. This will undoubtedly lead to collection issues, audit issues, fines, and litigation on the very people who are providing the jobs that this state so desperately needs. The increase in our tax liability by $128,000 that I just mentioned does not include any costs associated with calculating that tax, invoicing that tax, collecting that tax, or submitting it to the state. How many small businesses, how many medium-sized businesses in this state will be caught unaware and not have the bandwidth to handle this problem? The governor has said that she wants this whole thing settled by the end of March and implemented by June. How many small businesses in Michigan and medium-sized businesses in Michigan will be out of compliance on the first day because they don't have the management bandwidth to handle this issue? Governor Granholm thinks that the proposed tax on services is great for Michigan. I've met her. She told me that. But her proposal specifically exempts the state of Michigan and the federal government from any tax on services that it may purchase. In addition, it has also been suggested that exemptions might also be available to health care, child care, newspapers, tickets on sporting events. Now, some of you may be thinking, hey, I'm covered by one of those. And all I can say to you is, there but for the grace of Granholm go you. I would ask you to consider, if the governor is right and the proposed tax is a great idea for Michigan, why did she deem it important to exempt the state and federal governments? Health care, child care, newspaper, and the list goes on. Could it be that she recognizes the regressive nature of this tax? Could it be that she acknowledges that the state simply can't afford a 2% increase in its price? What about postage? I'm in the mailing business. I buy a boatload of postage on behalf of my customers. Surely I should be able to have postage exempted. In fact, if postage is not exempted, the $128,000 figure that I mentioned earlier balloons to $325,000. In May of this year, the Postal Service expects to implement an increase in postage of about 8%. If this proposed new tax is implemented and postage is not exempted, Michigan businesses and individuals will be paying an additional 2% on every stamp they purchase, more than any state in the country. What about shipping? Why shouldn't anybody who ships UPS or FedEx be exempt from this proposed tax for the stuff they ship to their customers or the stuff they buy on eBay? Please be advised that the Department of Treasury has already gone on record in saying that if an item in a specific taxable category is not specifically exempted from that tax, it is by definition taxable. What about your building rent payments? What about brokerage fees you pay on your 401k? What about your life insurance premium or your car insurance premium or your internet service or your movie tickets or your bowling lessons or your guitar lessons? What about? There has been a buzz in Lansing in certain circles that goes something like this. It's about time that service businesses in Michigan pay their fair share. Now, if you come to my office, I'll gladly give you a tour. And during that tour, you may hear me swear. I have a tendency to do that. But you're not allowed to use one word in my office. Fair. You can say whatever's on your mind, but you may not use that four-letter F word in my presence. My answer to this four-letter F word is this. When people say that it's time that businesses pay their fair share, I already have. As a service business in this state, I have not received one dime of state assistance. No tax abatements for capital equipments, no funds for training, no incentives to create the good-paying jobs that I have always provided. I have paid every penny of real and personal property tax on every piece of equipment, software, and real estate I have ever purchased. I have created good-paying jobs with a rich benefits package that have in turn created significant payroll taxes to this state. My business has provided jobs that have helped our associates buy homes and cars and guitar lessons and pizza and beer, and the list goes on and on and on. Service businesses in Michigan are not burger flippers. We are job providers. Supporters of this tax have said that the investment is needed to maintain, quote, our quality of life in Michigan, unquote. I want everybody to think about that statement for just one moment. When I take my money and invest it, I create jobs and opportunities for growth. I have a 30-year history of doing so. When the state invests my money, jobs are lost and opportunities for growth evaporate. But perhaps most troubling to me is the state laying claim to the title of provider of quality of life. I cannot recall when it happened, but somewhere along the way we have allowed ourselves to be fooled into believing that our quality of life emanates from state government. The quality of life my family enjoys comes from the grace of God, our hard work, and our dedication to one another, not from the state. My friends, I would argue that such statements are dangerous not only to our business community, but to our societal well-being. The mere specter of this proposed tax is already hurting Michigan businesses. It negatively impacts the market value of service businesses in Michigan. It makes Michigan an unattractive location for companies considering locating to Michigan. It compels Michigan companies considering to reconsider new investment and expansion. Personally, I'm holding my hands in my pocket until this whole thing is settled. This proposed tax, combined with the absence of an appropriate replacement to that ridiculous SBT tax, results in two words that no business owner likes to hear: economic uncertainty. I know more about what I'm going to spend on advertising next year than I do on what I expect to pay to the state in taxes. In December of last year, Michigan had the second highest unemployment rate in the nation. In January, the state's unemployment picture improved, and we still managed to finish dead last. Two positions lower than Mississippi that had a devastating hurricane, and on its best day is Mississippi. We are still 43 positions lower than Louisiana. The proposed tax that the governor would like to have you believe is simply two pennies is a bad idea at the wrong time. It is wrong for Michigan, its job providers, and the communities that they support. You know, I am proud to say that Lake Michigan Mailers is a Michigan company. This is where we have built our business. This is where we live. Michigan is literally our middle name, but there is a limit to what we can endure. The governor classified Pfizer's recent announcement to close its Ann Arbor facility as a, quote, punch to the gut, unquote. I've also heard the term, quote, blow to Michigan, unquote, used in reference to Comerica's decision to move its headquarters to Texas. With the beating that Michigan's economy is taking and the pain that our fellow citizens are being forced to endure, how can we even consider standing on the throat of Michigan job providers by proposing a new tax on services? Thank you for listening.